Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and kids. We have some kids here. Where are they? Where are the kids? There, they're hiding in the back. Come on down, Barb Barker. Welcome to Eagle Bend Community Church, and we'd like to open the service with a word of prayer.
Good morning, everyone. Something we haven't done for a while is, I know that we have had some blessings in this church this week, so I wondered if anyone had any blessings that they would like to share before we pray. You know, we got good news on Fred Welch, we know, and I don't see him here today. And of course, we've got several on our list. We found out our dear friend Fran Myers has got a broken back, so we've got to keep her in our prayers. And Ellie is still with her brother, so okay. But no one has anything to share, huh? All right, then let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this congregation. We love each and every one of them, and we ask that you bless everyone here this morning. We have some who are away. Please be with them. Bring them back to us safely. And everyone on our prayer list, please, would you see that you surround them with your love and give them whatever they need this morning, because you know better than we do. We hope that we don't just come together once a week to say thank you, because you do so much for us day in and day out. But we do thank you. And we thank you for Bruce and Betty, who do so much for our church. Please be with Bruce as he brings us the message this morning. And be with our choir as they bring you a message and song this morning. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. As usual, we want to thank him. He does so much for us with our music program here, and you just cannot imagine. So we thank you again, Tom. I have a really short thing to share with you before we start this morning. It was an email that came to me, and I guess I should apologize to Bruce, but it said that the best sermons are lived and not preached. so there was one in particular that I liked. If I can find it on here, come on. This one was one that I picked out because it happened here in Denver last week or the week before. A young man, or a man, I don't know his age, was walking with his dog, and the dog got run over by a car. So the man sat there, and he was holding the dog, you know, as sorry as he could be. And just with his last breath, the dog looked up and licked the tears from his eyes or his face. And it just struck me because I know there's a place in heaven for dogs, or if not, there's a heaven for dogs. Okay, and now we are going to sing some of Beethoven. We're going to sing Ode to Joy, only we're going to call it Joyful, Joyful. Please stand.
Some new people here, Colton and Jackson. Where are you? Oh, there you are, back there. Stand up, guys. Tell us who you are. Go ahead.
I'm Jackson. I'm Jackson.
And who do you belong to?
Our parents, Suzanne, were
singing. That's right. You're the grandchildren of the bands. So welcome. We welcome you today. We thank you so much for coming. You can sit down now. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have anything else to say. No. Any birthdays or anniversaries? Paula. Oh, Carol. Birthdays? Oh, Barb. Are these all birthdays? Fantastic. Let's sing happy. Tracy and you are twins. Well, you do look a lot alike. Yeah. Birthday, guys. Okay, I am not going to mention the donkeys. Thank you. for giving me that. Okay, get your picture taken this morning if you want to be in the directory. This is really great. It's going to go to the press probably within the next week or so. So if you had not had your picture taken for the directory, Kay Hayes is here. Kay, she'll take your picture after church. If you don't like the picture that you have in the directory, Kay Hayes, raise your hand. She'll take care of that too. So, all right. All right, January 19th, Ladies Luncheon. Deb, raise your hand. Deb Grinrod is going to be speaking. And her husband, Phil, had a great evening yesterday. And he said he was able to get over $1,400. Isn't that great? And what did you get from the time before? Do you know? How much did you get the week before? Oh, that's the total. Yeah, that is really awesome. And that's going to go to the Wounded Warrior. So thank you, Phil, for doing that. That was really, really special. January 20th, it says in here, it has the wrong date in the book, or in the bulletin. So it's January the 20th, Coed Bible Study at the Daniels. Dessert is 6:30, and you're studying the book of Daniel, of Romans. Where did I get Daniel from? Romans, that's right. Men's ministry will not meet in February because we're going to be in Peru, so pray for us about that. The more I read on what we're doing and where we're going, they sent us this list of all the things not to do, and it's like, wow. And they said, don't put your purse on the seat of a taxi because somebody will break through the window and take your purse. It's like, okay, yeah, I want to go there. Yep, that's where I want to be. Tithing letters, thank you, Dennis, are on the back table, so please pick up your tithing letter, take it home with you. And if you're not here, we'll put them out, I think, next week, and then they'll be put in the mail. Dinner with Friends will be the last Thursday of February, and Jim Shook did agree to do a presentation of his trip to the Antarctica. We're going to put a sign-up sheet next week. And it's going to be a decision between the Shavana room, depending on how many we get, or we're going to have it in this room here. So it's really important that everybody sign up who would like to come and see this. And I know that we've been wanting him to do this for a while. This time we're going to start at 5 o'clock, so instead of 5:30 because of his presentation and that. So thank you, Jim, for agreeing to do that. The prayer pillow ministry is just going like gangbusters. We're going to meet this Wednesday at Linda's house, so 9 o'clock. So if you can come to help sew these prayer pillows together and some other things, that would be really wonderful. Tom Girksnis had the abdominal aneurysm, and we have a pillow for him. And I remember when I worked in the OR, I would be on call, and they'd call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they'd say, you know, we have an abdominal aneurysm. You got to get here right now. I got stopped by the police on my way to the hospital, and I told them, I said, follow me, and we're on our way to the hospital. We have an abdominal aneurysm. I have to go. I love the blood and guts of that. Loved. Yeah, I am just one sick little puppy. Yep. Of course, we know that. We've always known that. So, and Bob Powell, which is Bonnie's brother-in-law, he broke his hip. He had a TIA, imbalance of the heart, and he's not doing very well. So a prayer pillow is for him, and I'm going to really be happy with myself on this one. Sigrid Fuschglucker is a neighbor of Carol and Dan Johnson, and he had a total knee, so we have a prayer pillow back there. And Fran Myers, who is a friend of many, many of us here, she broke her back. A skier was out of control and ran into her, and it was just a terrible, terrible accident. So please, keep Fran in your prayers, because nothing's making her comfortable right now, and she's under a lot of pain and suffering. And one great news, we have a wonderful couple who are on the threshold of taking over the mission committee. And Lois Raglan, where are you, Lois, would like to come up and say a few words.
Good morning. We've only been here since June, but gotten to know most of you. We have moved a lot, and one thing we have learned, especially in churches, is if you come up with an idea, you better be prepared to be in charge. So the last church that we were in South Carolina, we lived in a Sun City, which was big and nice like this, but it was in a small town, a not very well-to-do town, and the little Methodist church around the corner started a food bank, and all of the other little churches, like ours, which was like this, only we met on a basketball court in the rec center, the whole town kind of got in on this food bank, and Tom and I ended up being the food collectors, and every week we would announce in the bulletin what the food bank desperately needed, peanut butter and jelly, toilet paper, whatever. We would announce it at church, and the next Sunday, everybody would come with their little grocery bags, park them under the table, like our table up here. We would load up the car, drive around to the Methodist church, and deliver it. So here we are, another church again in our lives, and mentioned this idea to Betty and Bruce. So you know what I'm going to say next. There is really no good food bank right here in this area. The one in Parker serves Douglas County. But we have this wonderful church downtown, New Life in Christ Church, that is one of the missions of this church. We support their summer camp program, breakfast at the summer camp. But on Wednesday evenings, they have a family program, which involves about 30 people. There's a cook, and I don't know who else is involved. I haven't been down there yet, but Betty's going to take me, or take us. But they run on donations and out-of-pocket. So put two and two together, and we thought, well, maybe this church would like to help support that Wednesday evening program. If we know, and we might even plan, their meals for a couple weeks in a row, put into the bulletin what they will need for those meals, let you all know, and hope that little cans of food will walk in the door and park under that table out front. Betty goes down every Tuesday. She will take the food, and Wednesday they will have donations and meals to prepare for these 30 people. We'll keep it simple, and until we work out storage and refrigeration and all that, we will stick to food that comes in cans or boxes. And it would be a nice way for a small congregation to support a small activity with wondrous results. And once again, Tom and I will take control of, or take charge, whatever. So we're hoping this idea appeals to everybody. We'll give it a trial run for a couple months and see what happens. So if you watch your bulletin for next Sunday, I guess on the webpage, and we will also announce the food that will be needed for the meal for the next week. Then when you check out the New King Supers or run into Safeway, you can pick up a can, a box, a package, something simple. We'll deposit it and see how it all plays out. Yeah, I'm getting coached here. Okay, as Betty announced, Tom and I have agreed to work with the reorganization, or however it works, of the mission committee. But we don't want to do this alone. We know there's a lot of new people here like us, and there's people here who've been here a long time and kind of know what's going on in this church. So if anybody would like to help us out, please either talk to us after church, and there may be a sign-up list on the table, and we'll see if we can look over the missions and come up with some new ideas and kind of work with Bruce and Betty and see how it all plays out. So hope to talk to you after the service, and watch for your shopping list, and we'll see what we can do. Thank you.
Those 29-30 people that come on Wednesday night are homeless. They are kids from the trailer parks and also kids from Colfax, the Colfax motels, and families who are out of work. So they come with the intent of it is to do Bible study. That's the intent. But those people are coming for food, and we know that. You know, and as long as they have a captive audience, you know, of those 25-30 people, then they can feed their soul or feed their bodies and then feed their souls. And that's what this is for as well. So, and if you can help, that would be great. And if you can help out Lois and Tom, that would even be more great. And one thing I forgot to mention, a big, huge, ginormous praise. You had asked about praise, and you did mention Fred Welsh. And that what a tremendous miracle that is. Fred had cancer. He had cancer of the breast plates and also of the lung. And he's totally cured. So that is your prayers have touched him, and the Lord had heard your prayers. And Tom is interesting because Tom really was not a total believer because he's a geologist. He's a whole total... Fred, I know that. Yeah. Yeah, Fred. He was not a total believer, and the more that he started coming to this church and the more he saw you folks and the more he's been around you guys and the more he's been engulfed into this community of this church and whatever, his philosophy has changed. I mean, it was really interesting. You know, he would talk to Bruce at length, you know, about certain things, and not the same Fred that from the beginning. So it's through you guys who have put your hands upon him, and we thank you so much for that.
You don't have to clap. That's okay.
Well, just a word. I'm familiar with lung cancer, and when I heard that he had it, I was just devastated for anybody because we lost a daughter to lung cancer. We were not in this church at that time, and, you know, she didn't have the prayers of all this congregation. We don't know if it would have made a difference, but look at him. I thought his was absolutely devastating, and he's made this... When I saw the email that said he had no cancer after the surgery, I was just, praise the Lord, okay? It's time for us to sing again, so stand, and we're going to sing Till the Storm Passes By.
Till the morning. As we've learned over the past few weeks from Bruce, and Will in today's readings and music, Ezekiel's astonishing visions were signs that God used to prepare him to become a great prophet. God gave Ezekiel a great mission, just as he does for us today. Ezekiel's visions were intended to reach the people of his time, but they're also valuable for us throughout the ages. Dear Lord, today we invite you to breathe on us, in us, and through us. Fill us with your breath of life. Take these dry, tired bones and lay sinew and muscle upon them, that we might praise your honor and glory as we proclaim your word. Empower us to hear your word, breathing deeply the breath of the Holy Spirit as we come to you. Like your prophet Ezekiel, help us to invite others to share in your word as we seek to fill your church so that they might know you are the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to read from Ezekiel 7. Oh. Can you hear me now? Okay, Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees, on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live forever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine."
It's time once again for us to give back a little of what God has blessed us with, and we'll give our tithes and offerings. So if you'll stand, we'll sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to support your kingdom here on earth, our work here in our community, in our state, in our cities, and in, in our neighborhoods. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so just want to explain this song really quick. It's a week late. Apologize for that. As I told the choir, I didn't know Bruce was going to jump from chapter 1 to 37 so quickly. So, yes, this is Dem Bones. And this is, the choir asked me to mention this. This is the first arrangement that I have done. Personally, this is yes, that I've arranged for this occasion. So
it's nothing to get
excited about, but there you go.
Bones. Barbara was very right when she said in the beginning that the best sermons are lived, not preached. We meet here for 1 hour a week. There are 168 hours in the week, so that's 168th of the time. But the sermon that is preached hopefully will equip you to live a sermon in your life. That's the important thing. Thank you, Barbara. That was a good introduction. Is there anyone here who is discouraged because your life seems to be crumbling before your eyes? Anyone here struggling with disappointment in the outcome of a situation that may have turned bad? Is there anyone here who is struggling with grief or loss? Is there anyone feeling that their soul is dead? Is anyone wondering if the gospel really has power to transform your life, your loved ones, or even you? Then the Lord has just what you need, just what he gave to Ezekiel this morning, to drink from the streams of living water, to wade into the streams of living water over your head. Consider the setting of this book in Ezekiel. The Jews have been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon. They're captured. And we thank you, Kathy, for the reading. We appreciate that. The Babylonian army took over the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took the captives, 10,000, 20,000 Jews, into Babylon. All hope was shattered. They had no hope. Everything was gone. They even used their sacred vessels for obscene things. The people were in shock. They're in distress. They're deep sorrow, and they may have been given up. But God is not finished with them. God was going to use them in a mighty way. First of all, as we discussed last week, he gives them through Ezekiel a vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones, where God will restore the wasted bodies of the dead, put them back together. Ezekiel connected them. Dry bones, right? lifted them up and breathed life into them. He lifted them up on their feet and he breathed life into them so that they had new beginning. This was a vision that Ezekiel had. And then this morning he gives us an amazing vision of a river, a supernatural river that would bring them healing, fruitfulness, and life. In this vision, it says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from underneath the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around to the outer gate, and the water was flowing out from the south side." Well, explorers have always been driven to find the beginnings, the headwaters, the source of a great river. Last fall, Benny and I were up at Rocky Mountain National Park on the west side near Grand Lake. And as we were walking through one of the moraines, which is a swampy pasture, we found a sign saying, "Here's the headwater of the Colorado River." Wow, a little tiny stream. Yeah, we could probably just step over real easily. And the Colorado River, when it gets downstream, feeds and provides water for 30 million people in 7 states. And here it was, just a little stream trickling down the side of the hill. Well, the vision shows this amazing river. The source of the amazing river is the temple of the Lord. It begins with the presence of the Almighty God, because in those days, God dwelt in the temple. It begins within the temple, and this is a place where the men and God were reconciled. If you remember, that Yom Kippur is the Day of Atonement in the Jewish calendar. Each day, the Jews have this one day of reconciliation with God. In the New Testament terms, this life-giving river is Jesus, the source of all, Emmanuel, God with us. The blood sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who suffered in our place for us to atone for our sins. Well, every blessing comes ultimately from the person of Jesus. Christ is the source of all blessings. Just like that river, the beginning of the headwaters of the river, Christ is the headwater of our life, all healing, all fruitfulness, and all revival. The big question is he that for you? If not, why not? If not, why not? Because what a gift that is. Far more enduring than any earthly gift. This gift is just abundant, like waters that will never stop. So then we look at the size of the river, and this is kind of amazing. As the man went eastward and with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, which is about 1,500 feet, and then led me through the water that was just ankle deep. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, and he led me to the water, and the water was now knee deep. And then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, and the water was now waist deep. It was a river that I could not cross. Another 1,000 cubits was over my head, deeper than I could be. And the son of, and the angel who was with Ezekiel said, "Son of man, do you see? Do you see this?" One of the jobs of hydrologists are to measure the flows of rivers. In Colorado, this is very, very important because that gives us an idea of whether we're going to have enough water in the reservoirs for next year. And of course, the main thing is the snow up in the mountains that gives us the water. With certain measuring devices, we can read the number of cubic feet per second flowing in a river or a stream or a brook. And that's extremely important. But we never encountered a river like Ezekiel had. Because if you remember, this temple, this vision of the temple was in the middle of an arid land, and this river came out from underneath the temple without any tributaries joining it, without any rainfall. And its volume was exponentially increasing. Consider, Ezekiel's led by a companion, maybe probably an angel, sent from the Lord to measure off the flow of the river. And every third of a mile, he measures the water, and it's ankle deep, and then it's 20 inches deep, and then another third of a mile, it's 40 inches deep. And then finally, walking another third of a mile, it's over his head, a huge river flowing. And how can this be? How can this be in a hot desert region? Well, this is a vision of the prophecy of Christ. Christ is the water flowing from the temple, which went forth from Jerusalem. The salvation that the Messiah ushered in was the first small in appearance. Jesus was born in a lowly stable, just a little tiny, at the headwaters of salvation was where Jesus was born. And then it spread far and wide and had blessed effects throughout the world. Look at in our country, look in our congregation, what the salvation of Christ has done. And Jesus even said to his disciples in John 14, he said, listen to this one. This is important. This is why we're here. Believe me, the person who trusts me will not only do what I am doing, but even greater things, because I am on my way to the Father and I'm giving you the same work that I've been doing. So Jesus takes his disciples. You all are disciples. And say, you're going to do greater things than Jesus. What a commitment that is. What an assignment that is, even harder than the Raglan's assignment with the missions. That's a big assignment. Well, but then this river does more than just flow. It does more than just water the land. It brings life to the dead. And it says in the verses 6 to 9, then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there. It makes the salt water fresh. Not only is this river increasing in size, but it's cleansing. It's irrigating. It's making things fertile. It's bringing the dead back to life. Notice two things that the language of the Garden of Eden is in this scripture too. It says, great number of trees, swarms of living creatures, and the river flowing through the land. It's a new creation. This river is giving this vision of the river. And when the river empties into the sea, it makes it alive. You know what the sea is that they're talking about? The sea is the Dead Sea. The saltiest body of water in the world. It's filled, it's 8 times more salty than the Atlantic Ocean. It's filled with magnesium bromides and other noxious chemicals that make it unbearable for fish to live. Only microbes can live. Well, the river of life goes into this chemical dump and makes it clean. It comes back to life. The grace of Christ flows to those who are dead and degraded. It seems to have some significance for us, doesn't it? Too often our lives are chemical dumps of what we put into our stomachs and what we put into our minds and what we put into our hearts. But when we allow these healing waters to flow through us, the spirit of in the body of the Spirit of Christ, yes, it will flush out the pollutions of in our lives. But how do you do that? It's not easy, is it? It takes some discipline. It means to love even the unlovable. It means to serve the needy. It means to have compassion on those who are lost. And it means to really forgive those who have harmed you and hurt you. That makes it very hard. All this is not easy, that's for sure. But it separates from us from those who do not know the love of the Lord. His redeeming blood and fresh, clear, regenerating waters of God come through our life and flush us out. Get rid of all the bad stuff. The waters of God through the Holy Spirit come through us. Get rid of all that bad stuff and energize us and make us fruitful. So it says, next, fishermen will stand along the shore and there will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. Well, on the Dead Sea, there's no fishing there today, but this vision says that the Dead Sea, which is the world, will flourish. As if the fishermen will be along the sea catching trout like they do on opening day in the fishing season. Well, in addition to that, the fruit trees are going to be lining the river and the banks of the lake, of the great sea, of the great Dead Sea. And those leaves on the fruit trees will be healing, have healing power. And they will have abundance to feed the many. Just like Jesus did with the feeding of the 5,000. He said to his disciples, here's some fish and some loaves. Go feed them. And they were fed. And Jesus also told his disciples he would make them fishers of men. So we see the symbolism of Ezekiel 47 demonstrated in the prophecy of Christ. The fruit trees will grow on both sides and the leaves will be for healing. Remarkable trees. You know, no one will grow frail and old in the New Jerusalem that Jesus was talking about, that the Ezekiel vision was talking about the New Jerusalem. They will have a quality of life unrestricted by disease or frailty or disability. To live in the New Jerusalem or heaven is to experience life in all of its fullness and vitality that we cannot know today. We cannot know it today. You know that our life is just a little tiny blip on the calendar today, but what our life with in the New Jerusalem will continue forever. Of course, I'm talking about life eternal with the Lord in the heavenly kingdom. Anyone want to live like that? Anyone want to live like that with no pain and no suffering and no sorrow? So in a place where there had been no fresh water, no fish to catch, no trees to provide shade or fruit, now you have an abundance of fresh water, fish, fruit, and shade, even healing medicines. What a river of life. What is the meaning of this life-giving river? The Lord is giving us a parable through Ezekiel, a picture that packs a punch. The grace that begins at the dwelling place of God, Lord Jesus Emmanuel. Listen to how the former slave trader John Newton wrote in his hymn, which we're going to sing right after the sermon. Glorious things of thee are spoken. He says, see the streams of living water springing from eternal love. Well supply thy sons and daughter, and all fear of want remove. Who can faint while such a river ever flows to thirst to assuage? Grace which, like the Lord, the river never fails from age to age. And as we sing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow. This vision, this of water and river, the ever healing, ever abundant river. What an encouragement to those whose lives are fruitless and dead. This river, this vision of God in the New Jerusalem. What a challenge to those who believe this life-giving gospel and preach it to a wretched society. As I said, this is one half hour of a week, and you have 70 or 80 people out there preaching by living the way you live. What an incentive to pray for this kind of revival. It would be great to have a revival here at HEV. Maybe we'll work on that one of these days. What an encouragement for our missions and evangelism. What a taste of heaven this can be. We are the benefactors of the great river of healing and love and renewal. You know, too many people are standing on the banks of that river just looking at the water and never getting into it. Never trying to give it a test. Never wanting to leave their comfort zone. Never going beyond what they can see. Their faith is never exercised to the point where they have peace no matter what the world throws at them. It's about coming to the end of ourselves and saying, I can't do anymore. I can't do anymore. But I know that God is so big, he can do a lot more than I can. When Ezekiel got in this deep, his will was surrendered to the will of the river. God wants us to lose sight of ourselves, our goals, our ambitions, our dreams, and he wants us to be 100% totally surrendered to him and his will for our lives. Ezekiel says about God that he brought me through the waters. You know, the ankle deep, the knee deep, the waist deep, and over your head. God will bring you through those waters. God will not fail you if you decide to go into that water. He's faithful and will take care of you. Walking in the water that's only ankle deep is no challenge, is it? The force of the water against your steps is minimal, and you can easily get in and out of this river without any trouble. It's also easy for some outside force like the wind or somebody bumping you to knock you out of that water. Since a lot of people never get more than ankle deep in their commitment to Christ, you can see why many live shallow lives, ankle deep lives. And every little wind of our doctrine or every politically correct thing will drive them out of that river. They rarely hear the voice of God. They listen to the voice. And we call these people probably shallow Christians. And walking in the water now up to your knees is a little more difficult, isn't it, than just walking in up to your ankles. But still, it's not as stable. If you can be knocked out of the water with the same circumstances that you had when you're only up to your ankles, non-committal and compromising with the world, that's what we can't do. We cannot compromise with the world. We've got to stand strong. And only those who get in at least waist deep and ultimately over their heads in the water with God, will really experience the glory and victory in Christ. Any good work for the Lord will accomplish great results only if we live and work in a deep, strong relationship with God and make a real commitment to Him. Not ankle deep, not knee deep, maybe waist deep, but really, if you get in over your head, God will take care of you. What about you right now? Are you still in shallow water? What are you going to do with your commitment to God? Some of you haven't stepped into the water at all. Jesus is just looking for a full commitment over the ankles, over your knees, over your waist, over your head. Let the river carry you wherever the Holy Spirit leads, because He will lead you in a way that you are to serve Him. There's no telling what great victories lie ahead. Will you surrender all, or are you going to continue to walk in the shallow water or stand on the bank of the river just looking in, saying, that looks nice, but I'm afraid to go in there? The choice is yours, and Jesus is waiting for your answer. Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Our next hymn is the one that Bruce referred to in his sermon. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to sing Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Show solid joys and love.
I neglected to mention that as Betty mentioned, the tithing letters are in the back of the church, and just so that you know, the response to this congregation to the mission of our church has been fantastic. We exceeded our budget by over 12%, so that was wonderful. And every Sunday morning we have Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. Because Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had blessed it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." In the same manner also, he took the cup, and when they had finished eating, he blessed the cup and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
we didn't make any mention this morning of those Broncos, but did you see that Bronco Sky this morning? Oh, mercy. I think this was his day to beat Tom Brady, and he doesn't get to play. We're going to do a closing hymn now called "We'll Understand It Better By and By." So please stand.
That God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by.
Betty forgot something. The ladies who are going to the luncheon, please sign up in the back so we know how many places to sit. So, and now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.